time has come to hear from God through his word and through the servant he has selected to bring forth his word this morning. So I want to encourage you to bow our heads this moment and close our eyes and ask God to clear our minds, refocus our attention, make our ears and heart attentive to hear from him this morning. Amen. Today's word is found in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Again, it's found in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. If you have found yourself, found your place and are able, please stand for the reading of the inerrant, infallible, life-transforming, living Word of God. Amen. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, oh, how we thank you for your word. For it is a lamp unto our feet and our guide. Heavenly Father, we just do not want to just read these words. We want to learn them and apply them to our lives. So Heavenly Father, we ask you, we plead with you to please open our eyes at this time, that we may behold the wonderful things from your word, because your word is perfect, and the unfolding of your word gives light and understanding to all who are seeking you this morning. So please, Lord, open our eyes at this time, we pray. In the powerful name of Jesus, we say, amen.
Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. My strength and my redeemer. Amen. Lord, remove me and fill the sanctuary with your presence. Amen. It is always a blessing to have the privilege of bringing the word. And so I thank Pastor Bala for giving me this opportunity. Good morning, Mount Hope.
Good morning.
I'm going to jump right in to the message. Deacon Leslie read the entire passage. I'm going to focus primarily on one verse, and that's verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. My attention has been captured for almost a year by verse 12b of Philippians 2, as it reads, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Let me share up front. This verse is not about how to become saved. Paul is speaking to individuals who are already saved, and as the song said, been set free. They've been on this journey of salvation for some time. This passage is about becoming sanctified, the process of being perfected until the day we see Jesus face to face. Verse 12 challenged me to recognize there is continuous work to be done in my life as a Christian. You see, this walk of receiving Christ as our Savior is like a marriage. In fact, the New Testament has several passages that reference Jesus as being the bridegroom, and we, the church, being the bride. Once a couple says, I do, during the wedding ceremony, and we get past the honeymoon, then the real work begins, right? Okay, thank you. To God be the glory. So it is in working out our salvation. With my attention being captured, I found myself wrestling with understanding the meaning of this verse. In fact, several months ago, I was inspired to create an outline, turning the verse into a sermon. But in time, I realized I was making it into something that suited me. In fact, it was all about me. I've since come to understand that I work out my salvation. I can only work out my salvation by seeking to imitate Christ's humility towards others. It's not about me. So you might ask, as I did, how can I do this? What does it look like to work out your salvation? I pondered this question for months, reflecting over my life. Then I began to see I had been taking a shortcut to answering the question by not looking at verse 12 and how it fits into the broader passage. So I became stuck for a while. Let me ask this question. Have any of you ever been in the habit of skipping the begats in the genealogies found in the Old Testament? And if some of you are not sure what I'm referring to, I'll give you an example found in Genesis 5, beginning with verse 3. This is a King James version. So listen to this. This is one of the genealogies. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died, etc., etc., etc. Well, I used to skip the begats. I was impatient and wanted to get to the good parts of the passage. However, as I began to mature and understand the purpose of biblical history, I realized I was missing out on many significant details that would give me understanding. This is what I had been doing with verse 12. Then God opened my eyes to see that I had to go back to the beginning of Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. There I found the beginning of Paul's blueprint for working out my salvation, where he states, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, and if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind." Paul's encouragement to be like-minded sounds reasonable, right? This is the beginning of working out our salvation. Paul goes on to state in verse 3 that we must value others above ourselves, meaning we must be selfless, not selfish, selfless. Now, for many of us, this may sound a little bit harder to act on, I imagine. Let's face it, we are all very different people, very different backgrounds, circumstances, and opinions. So I'll ask the tough question: who are the others you may not be valuing above yourself? Could it be the coworker who drives you crazy every day? Or your boss who you feel doesn't respect your work? Or maybe it's a close family member you haven't spoken to in months or even years. Maybe it's a friend you feel has let you down, or the next door neighbor who constantly instigates an argument. Or is it your parents or even your spouse? Maybe it's the homeless people we pass by every day. And if you're a younger person listening, maybe it's the classmate that everyone in your friend group constantly makes fun of. So the answer is yes. It could be any of these individuals and more. At first, it might seem Paul is saying be of the same mind as his own mind. However, he brings complete clarity to his statement by admonishing believers with the following in verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So, what example did Jesus leave for us to know his mind? Paul summarizes the mind of Christ in the example Jesus set through valuing others in his humility, or you might say in his humiliation. He was God. But for our sakes, he voluntarily humbled himself into nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant. Not only did he become human, he valued us so much higher than himself that he took on our sins, and was obedient to the point of death on a cross. Paul states in Romans 5:8, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." This means even when we were enemies of God, Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for us. Now that is the mind of Christ. So then how can we possibly imitate Christ in his example? Paul begins his final encouragement to the church of Philippi very simply in verse 12 with, "Just as you have always obeyed in my presence and now even more in my absence, stop." Herein lies the key word, obeyed. For those of you who have or have had children in college, you most likely have wondered, will they remember and practice what we have taught them? Will they be obedient even when we are far away? Will they understand we have given them rules to live by so that they can have a rewarding future? It's not just so they can't have fun. In Paul's case, he knew he did not have much time remaining in his life, and it was imperative for believers to know they could continue on in their journey without him by being obedient. This reminds me of a friendship I had many years ago with a particular coworker. She was a believer and a lover of God, but struggled with putting her trust totally in God. She struggled with being obedient. She sought me out for counseling, encouragement, and even correction. Well, after about a year or so, I realized she was really starting to rely on me too much for her everyday guidance. So eventually I met with her, sat her down, and very gently said, "Charlotte, I'm cutting the cord. I won't be far away, but it's time you placed your faith totally in God. You see, I will unintentionally fail you, but God won't." So in this manner, Paul says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I've referenced this verse several times in the passage, but let me pause for a moment. What did Paul mean by fear and trembling? Does he expect us to be in terror of God while we're growing? Well, I don't think so. I researched the meaning of the phrase fear and trembling. In the Greek language in which the New Testament was originally written, this phrase is pronounced phobos kai tromos. Paul uses this wording in other passages to mean reverent obedience. Likewise, in the Hebrew language of the Old Testament, the word fear represents awe and reverence. Therefore, we could restate verse 12b to read something like this: continue to work out your salvation with awe and obedience. That is all God wants, us to be in awe of him, with a desire and a heart to be obedient. Finally, you may still be thinking to yourself, how can I do this? How can I always obey God's word? It's impossible. There are too many obstacles, distractions, and temptations in the world. I can admit I previously avoided reading verses 5 through 11 because I was so awestruck of being reminded of Christ's humility and obedience. How could I possibly compare myself to him? How could I possibly expect to have the same mind as Christ? However, I now have true understanding that I cannot accomplish this working out on my own. You see, God is the one who works it out in me day by day. When I said as a child, "Yes, I want to follow Jesus," I surrendered my will to God. That means I don't have to worry about whether or not I can accomplish this task of valuing others above myself. I just need to stay in God and constantly surrender myself to him over and over every day. When I get up in the morning, fall on my knees and say, "Lord, I surrender to you." That's the only way it can be done. Verse 13 assures me that it is God who is working in my will to accomplish his work. He will guide and shape me, or shape my will to value others above myself. He will soften my heart and help me be more kind to others. He will help me to give people the benefit of a doubt, those who have wronged me. He will help me be more patient and loving. He will help me treat others the way they wish to be treated, not the way I think they should be treated. So as I close, how about you? Have you been working out your salvation? If you're not sure, do you want to imitate the mindset of Christ in your relationships with others? What do you think? Then it's very simple. Surrender. Surrender yourself and work out your salvation in a constant state of awe and obedience. Believe and trust that God will work in you to will and to act in order to fill his good purpose in your life. Amen.
What an incredible challenge. Therefore, my dear friends, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's always important to have a healthy fear of God as we think about reverence and awe, as that sense of when you see God, you just like, wow. And in that, you are willing to follow him. In Psalm 16, verse 11, it says this: you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with the joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. There's a sense that God has promised. Deacon Priscilla said, obedience is the key. And obedience is for a rewarding future, not just so you don't have fun. For too long, Christians have sort of put this whole notion of Christianity that it's all about the don'ts. Don't do this, don't do that. And Christians just don't have fun. It's not about not having fun. It's about having a rewarding future. Because all of us that have gone astray to whatever extent, we realize it was not worth it. And again, you make known to me the path of life. God is going to make known to you the path of life, where you should go and how you should walk in it. And it says, you fill me with joy in your presence. There's a sense of fullness of joy only in the presence of God. So the tough question that we have to deal with is that, is there anyone that we are not valuing above ourselves just because they're not like us and just because they're just a big pain in the neck? Is that enough for us not to value them? While Jesus died, while we were yet sinners, so that we could have life and have it more abundantly. So I want to encourage you to process this. And again, thank you, Deacon Priscilla, for bringing out this challenge to have a mindset of Christ, to have a mindset that wants to imitate Christ as a servant. Without having people walk all over you all the time, or you feeling like people are walking all over you all the time, how do we develop a servant mindset where God has placed us in certain areas for a purpose, to shed a light in whatever dark place we're in and whatever people are doing that just rub us the wrong way? I hope that we will just think about that and ask God to give us the power that only he can give us to value people above ourselves be a servant to them, because our ultimate goal is for them to see Christ in us, along with our theme verse, to bear fruit that will last. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads just for a moment. Close your eyes. As Deacon Priscilla said, this challenge is primarily for Christians. Maybe there's some of you here today that are not Christians yet. You have not turned your life over to Christ. You have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And maybe the Spirit of God has been stirring inside of you as this message was going forth, as the worship was going on, and as everything was taking place throughout the service, that maybe you want to turn your life over to Christ. So I want to give you the opportunity, as you have your eyes closed and heads bowed, is there anyone here today, just by raising your hand, will say, I want to turn my life over to Christ. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Praise God. Anyone else? Okay, this is between you and God. God is always with open arms, waiting for us to come back to Him. Is anyone else ready to make that decision? Amen. For those of you that raise your hands, and those of you that maybe in your heart you want to turn your life over to Christ, I want to encourage you to pray this brief prayer as you repeat after me. Say, Dear God, I thank you for loving me. I thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on a cross for my sins. I recognize that I am a sinner in need of forgiveness and salvation. So I pray, forgive me my sins, cleanse me, make me a child of God, and help me from this day forward to live a life that will be pleasing in your sight. I pray this in Jesus' name. For the rest of us, gracious God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for your Spirit that helps us to process and understand. We thank you for your servant that raised the question for us, the challenge for us, that is found in your word. Is there anyone in our lives that we're not esteeming higher than ourselves? Father, I pray that you would empower us to be able to begin to look at everyone as you looked at us. Father, we may continue to pray for one another, that we may continue to serve one another. So, Father, we do pray, give us the mind of Christ as we continue throughout this week. We pray, give us the opportunity to love on each other, to continue to encourage one another, and to know that we have some growing to do each and every day until the day you call us home. So we pray, help us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, reverence and awe of who you are. We ask your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.